The Old Testament reading is taken from the 5th chapter of Isaiah.
Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judea, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I had not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do with my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I shall make it a waste. It will not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant parting. And he expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. This is the word of the Lord. The New Testament reading is from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11. By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land, but when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and on mountains, and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so they would not, without us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarded its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it was already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, 5 in one household will be divided, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter-in-law against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, is it going to rain? And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be a scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. When I was about 9 years old at a primary school, I gave Lorraine Power a wide berth. She was a feisty young girl and quite argumentative in class. Had quite a short temper, if my memory serves me right. You certainly wouldn't want to cross Lorraine Power. In retrospect, I guess she was needy, wanted attention. But personally, I wasn't comfortable with conflict and therefore kept my head down and avoided eye contact with her where possible. One morning before mid-morning play, I heard a rumour that Lorraine was sporting for a fight. By the time I reached the playground, a large group of children had already formed a circle, and I could make out Lorraine strutting inside the space. Fight, fight, fight. I couldn't quite see her opponent. The circle suddenly broke as I got nearer and then regrouped. And I found myself within the circle. Lorraine's opponent was apparently me. As I mentioned, I was uncomfortable with conflict, verbal or physical. As she circled, punching the air and trying a few dance manoeuvres like Muhammad Ali, I awkwardly moved around, unable to even lift my arms above my hips as they were heavy with sheer tension. We circled for what seemed ages. I wanted the ground to open up. The playground supervisor suddenly appeared and broke the tension, broke the circle and shooed off the children, and thankfully, and forgive the cliche, I was saved by the bell. It was over before it began. I never knew what caused it, and it never occurred again. And I may have been 9 and much older now, but I've never forgotten that moment. In my growing up, the Jesus that I got to know was a man of peace, a gentle shepherd, assertive maybe, but compassionate, loving and forgiving. My favourite Christmas verses as a young Christian were from the Old Testament, as they referred to Jesus as a wonderful counsellor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But this morning we hear the hard talk from Jesus. He mentions conflict and division, becoming his followers, his disciples, taking up one's cross to walk the way of Christ was not going to be easy. It would cause inward conflict and outward conflict, fractured relationships with families within their communities. Jesus is saying he has not come to bring peace, but his coming will bring division. It stops you in your tracks, as surely his purpose was peace. His purpose was to unite people. How can he now be saying that he came to divide mother against daughter, father against son? It would be easiest to just hear what we want to hear. However, let's think about this. To be Jewish in the time of Jesus, and even today, Judaism is a faith one is born into. It defines who you are, identifies you, your culture, your creed. Being Jewish is about your community and how you live out your daily life. And then to follow a new faith, to accept as the Messiah, Jesus, and become a Christian would be seen as a rejection, a dishonor to your religion and family. You would be an outsider cast out by your community, despised. You would no longer have a sense of belonging. This would obviously cause great conflict with your peers, your parents, your families, your neighbours. Maybe not so dramatically, but even today, as you tell people you come to church or mention you are a Christian, it can put us at odds with people who do not share our convictions. We might tend then to play it down, but however, if we keep our faith to ourselves and keep the peace, it would be like living in two worlds. When the disciples are called, they appear to respond eagerly. But we do not know, however, how their families felt, what reaction their wives gave. You're off? Where? How long? Zebedee was left to run the fishing business after his sons dropped their nets, left the quayside and followed Jesus. Was their mother distraught when Zebedee got home that night? Did the elders of the synagogue snub them, disown them? Did the community react with hostility? Maybe a bounty was put upon their heads. These first followers may have been tempted to keep their conversion under wraps, to keep the peace. But no, because when they surrendered to Christ, their convictions were proclaimed and their past lives erased. So Jesus talks the hard stuff. It is troubling as he tells it as it is. He does not suggest that following him is in any way a soft option. We have to walk the walk, as painful as it may be. There is a cost to this discipleship. There are tensions when Jesus brings his velvet sword into someone's life. We need courage to express our convictions, take up our cross and follow him. During my ministry, I am subject to a yearly review. I well recall seeing the Bishop of Reading a few years back and sharing that I carried a little conflict within myself with regard to my vocation. When I'm in the community, I felt a tinge of guilt that I was not in the church office. When in the church office, a sense of guilt that I was not at home with the family. He wisely eased the conflict by saying, "Wherever you are, your ministry is." My mother sadly passed away a year ago. There was then conflict within myself. As my vocation had meant, I was often at people's bedsides and not always at hers. That conflict returns as my disabled brother is diagnosed with dementia. The conflict, yes, returns again. It sometimes puts me at odds with myself. I battle, as you all do, with your priorities. These this morning were the hard sayings of Jesus, but only because they call us to live by our convictions. But I end on a more lighter note when it comes to conflict in the family over faith. A few years ago, we had a church day out to Norwich. Church members came along, plus Peter, my husband, and two sons, and my mother-in-law. We went on a boat trip in the afternoon. My mother-in-law got separated and sat at the front of the boat with a stranger, and she got chatting. She pointed back to my sons and said they were her grandchildren. She pointed a few seats along and said proudly, "That's my son, Peter." Then she waved more vaguely to me at the back of the boat and in hushed whispers announced, "And that's my daughter-in-law. She's turned to religion. But what can you do?" Amen. Please sit or kneel for our prayers.
Lord Jesus Christ, now and every day, teach us how to pray, Son of God. You have commanded us to do this in remembrance, Lord, of you. Into our life your power breaks through, living Lord. We put our trust in you. You are our rock and our redeemer. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Living Lord, we pray for your world. While we in this country have an abundance of good things, multitudes are dying of starvation. While we have money to spare, vast numbers are desperately poor. Lord, give us the courage to face things and to think more deeply about them. We pray for rulers and statesmen who are called to leadership in the affairs of our world. May their service to their people promote the welfare and peace of all mankind through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, in your mercy, Living Lord, we give you thanks that we are part of the family here at St. Peter's. We thank you for the time of worship we share together. May we be a church of outreach into our community of London Coney through our summer fair, our harvest supper, and our quiz night. As your disciples, may our faces shine with your gifts of faith, hope, and love. May we cast our nets wide to gather precious souls unto you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord Jesus, you heal the sick and you cured the lame. Today we give thanks for those who serve the health of our nation, for the devotion and skill of doctors, nurses and surgeons, for the work of scientists engaged in medical research, for the staff at clinics, hospices. Prosper all that is being done to heal the sick in mind, body and spirit. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray today for those recently bereaved, and we remember James, and ask you to be with those who loved him. He was my goddaughter's partner, who was tragically killed in a car accident this week, and her sister's being married here at St. Peter's in 3 weeks' time. So I ask you to pray for them in this terrible time. We remember those whose year's mind falls at this time, and we remember Bill, Alfred Ilms, Patricia Chambers, Matthew Hall, George Wright, and Gillian Shuttlewood. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Jesus, you are our way. May we never wander from you. Jesus, you are our truth. May we never deny you. Jesus, you are our life. May we never lose you. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.